size of a poor beggar, with his clothes all tattered and patched, and a torn hood falling on his shoulders. And he will carry with him an awl wherewith to kill you, and a flint and steel wherewith to set fire to the castle. And if you find not my words to be true, punish me as you will." At these words Nicholas was seized with great terror, believing the speaker to be a person worthy of credit, and he commanded a strict watch to be kept, and that if such a person would present himself, he should be brought before him forthwith. Presently Brother Juniper arrived alone, for, because of his great perfection, he was allowed to travel without a companion as he pleased. On this there went to meet him certain wild young men, who began to mock him, treating him with great contempt and indignity. And Brother Juniper was no way troubled thereat, but rather incited them to ill-treat him more and more. And as they came to the castle gate, the guards, seeing him thus disfigured, with his scanty habit torn in two, for he had given half of it on the way to a beggar, for the love of God, so that he had no longer the appearance of a friar minor, recognizing the signs given of the expected murderer, they dragged him with great fury before the tyrant Nicholas. They searched him to find whether he had any offensive weapons, and found in his sleeve an awl, which he used to mend his sandals, and also a flint and steel which he carried with him to strike a light when he abode, as he often did in the woods or in desert places. Nicholas, seeing the signs given by the devil, commanded that a cord should be fastened round his neck, which was done with so great cruelty that it entered into the flesh. He was then most cruelly scourged, and being asked who he was, he replied, "I am a great sinner." When asked whether he wanted to betray the castle to the men of Viterbo, he answered, "I am a great traitor and unworthy of any mercy." Being questioned whether he intended to kill the tyrant Nicholas with an awl, and to burn the castle, he replied that he should do greater things than these, should God permit him. This Nicholas, then, being wholly mastered by his fury, would examine no further, but without delay condemned Brother Juniper, as a traitor and murderer, to be fastened to a horse's tail, and so dragged on the ground to the gallows, there to be forthwith hanged by the neck. And Brother Juniper made no excuse for himself, but as one who joys to suffer for the love of God, he was full of contentment and rejoicing. So the command of the tyrant was carried into effect. Brother Juniper was tied by the feet to the horse's tail and dragged along the ground, making no complaint, but like a meek lamb led to the slaughter, he submitted with all humility. At this spectacle of prompt justice, all the people ran together to behold the execution of so hasty and cruel a judgment. But no one knew the culprit. Nevertheless, it befell, by the will of God, that a good man, who had seen Brother Juniper taken and sentenced forthwith, ran to the house of the friars minor and said, "I pray you for the love of God to come with me at once, for a poor man has been seized and immediately condemned and led to death. Come that he may at least place his soul in your hands, for he seems to me a good man, and he has had no time to make his confession. Even now they are leading him to the gallows, yet he seems to have no fear of death nor care of his soul. Oh, be pleased to come quickly." Then the guardian, who was a compassionate man, went at once to provide for the salvation of the soul, and when he came to the place of execution, he could not get near for the crowd. But as he stood watching for an opening, he heard a voice say, "Do not so, do not so, cruel men, you are hurting my legs." And as he recognized the voice of Brother Juniper, the guardian, in fervor of spirit, forced his way through the crowd, and tearing the bandage from the face of the condemned, he saw that it was indeed Brother Juniper, who looked upon him with a cheerful and smiling countenance. Then the guardian, with many tears, besought the executioners and all the people for pity to wait a little space, till he should go and beseech the tyrant to have mercy on Brother Juniper. The executioners promised to wait a few moments, believing no doubt that he was some kinsman of the prisoner. So the devout and pious guardian went to the tyrant Nicholas, weeping bitterly, and said, "My lord, I am so filled with grief and amazement that my tongue can scarcely utter it, for it seems to me that in this our land has been committed today the greatest sin and the greatest evil which has been wrought from the days of our fathers even until now, and I believe that it has been done through ignorance. Nicholas heard the guardian patiently and inquired, "What is this great sin and evil which has been committed today in this land?" And the guardian answered, "It is this, my lord, that you have condemned, and as I assuredly believe, unjustly, to a most cruel punishment one of the holiest friars at this time in the order of St. Francis, to whom you profess a singular devotion." Then said Nicholas, "Now tell me, Father Guardian, who is he? For perhaps, knowing him not, I have committed a great fault." "He," said the guardian, "whom you have condemned to death, is Brother Juniper, the companion of St. Francis." Then was the tyrant amazed, for he had heard the fame of Brother Juniper's sanctity. And pale with fear, he hastened together with the guardian to Brother Juniper, and loosed him from the horse's tail and set him free. And in the presence of all the people, he prostrated himself on the ground before Brother Juniper, and with many tears confessed his fault, and the cruelty of which he had been guilty toward the holy friar, adding, "I believe indeed that the days of my wicked life are numbered, since I have thus without reason cruelly tortured so holy a man. For in punishment of my evil life, God will send me in a few days an evil death, though this thing I did ignorantly." Then Brother Juniper freely forgave the tyrant Nicholas, but a few days afterwards God permitted a most cruel death to overtake him. And so Brother Juniper departed, leaving all the people greatly edified. Chapter 4. How Brother Juniper gave all that he had to the poor for the love of God. Brother Juniper was so full of pity and compassion for the poor that when he saw anyone poor or naked, he immediately took off his tunic or the hood of his cloak and gave it to him. The guardian therefore laid an obedience upon him not to give away his tunic or any part of his habit. A few days afterwards, a poor half-naked man asked an alms of Brother Juniper for the love of God, who answered him with great compassion, "I have nothing which I could give thee but my tunic, and my superior has laid me under obedience not to give it, nor any part of my habit, to anyone. But if thou take it off my back, I will not resist thee." He did not speak to a deaf man, for the beggar forthwith stripped him of his tunic and went off with it. When Brother Juniper returned home and was asked what had become of his tunic, he replied, "A good man took it off my back and went away with it." And as the virtue of compassion increased in him, he was not contented with giving his tunic, but would give books or cloaks or whatever he could lay his hands on to the poor. For this reason the brethren took care to leave nothing in the common rooms of the convent, because Brother Juniper gave away everything for the love of God and to the glory of his name. Chapter 5. How Brother Juniper took certain little bells from the altar and gave them away for the love of God. One Christmas day Brother Juniper was in deep meditation before the altar at Skeese, the which altar was right fairly and richly adorned. So at the desire of the sacristan, Brother Juniper remained to keep guard over it while he went to his dinner. And as he was absorbed in devout meditations, a poor woman came asking an alms of him for the love of God, to whom Brother Juniper made answer, "Wait a while, and I will see if I can find anything for thee on this grand altar." Now there was upon the altar an exceedingly rich and costly frontal of cloth of gold, with silver bells of great value. "These bells," said Brother Juniper, "are a superfluity." So he took a knife and cut them off the frontal, and gave them to the poor woman out of compassion. The sacristan, after he had eaten three or four mouthfuls, bethought him of the ways of Brother Juniper, whom he had left in charge, and began exceedingly to doubt whether, in his charitable zeal, he might not do some damage to the costly altar. As soon as the suspicion entered his head, he rose from the table and went back to the church to see if any of the ornaments of the altar had been removed or taken away. And when he saw that the frontal had been cut and the little bells carried off, he was troubled and scandalized beyond measure. Brother Juniper, seeing that he was very angry, said to him, "Be not disturbed about those little bells, for I have given them to a poor woman who had great need of them, and here they were good for nothing but to make a pompous display of worldly vanity." When the sacristan had heard this, he went with all speed to seek the woman in the church and throughout the city, but he could neither find her nor meet with anyone who had seen her. So he returned, and in great wrath took the frontal and carried it to the general, who was at Assisi, saying, "Father General, I demand justice on Brother Juniper, who has spoilt this hanging for me, the very best I had in the sacristy. See how he has destroyed it by cutting away all the silver bells, which he says he has given to a poor woman." And the general answered him, "It is not Brother Juniper who has done this, but thine own folly, for thou oughtest by this time to have known his ways, and I tell thee I marvel only that he did not give away the whole frontal. Nevertheless, I will give him a sound correction for his fault." And having called the brethren together in chapter, he sent for Brother Juniper, and in the presence of the whole community reproved him most severely concerning the said bells, and waxing wrathful as he spoke, he raised his voice till it became hoarse. Brother Juniper cared little or nothing for these words, for he delighted in reproaches and rejoiced when he received a good humiliation. But his one thought in return was to find a remedy for the general's hoarseness. So when he had received his reproof, he went straight to the town for flour and butter to make a good hasty pudding, with which he returned when the night was far spent. Then lighting a candle, he went with his hasty pudding to the door of the general's cell and knocked. The general came to open it, and seeing him with a lighted candle and a pipkin in his hand, asked, "Who is there?" Brother Juniper answered him, "Father, when you reproved me today for my faults, I perceived that your voice grew hoarse, and I thought it was from over fatigue. I considered, therefore, what would be the best remedy, and have had this hasty pudding made for you. Therefore, I pray you eat of it, for I tell you that it will ease your throat and your chest." "What an hour of the night is this," said the general, "to come and disturb other people." And Brother Juniper made answer, "See, it has been made for you. I pray you eat it without more ado, for it will do you good." But the general, being angry at the lateness of the hour and at Brother Juniper's persistence, answered him roughly, bidding him go his way, for at such an hour he would not eat. Then Brother Juniper, seeing that neither persuasions nor prayers were of any avail, said, "Father, since you will not eat the pudding which was made for you, at least do this for me. Hold the candle for me, and I will eat it." Then the general, being a devout and kindly man, seeing the piety and simplicity of Brother Juniper, and how he had done all this out of devotion, answered, "Well, since thou wilt have it so, thou and I will eat together." And so the two of them ate this hasty pudding together out of an importunate charity, and were refreshed by their devotion more than by the food. Chapter 6. How Brother Juniper Kept Silence for 6 Months. Brother Juniper once determined with himself to keep silence for 6 months together in this manner: the first day for love of the Eternal Father, the second for love of Jesus Christ his Son, the third for love of the Holy Ghost, the fourth in reverence to the Most Holy Virgin Mary. And proceeding thus each day in honor of some saint, he passed 6 whole months without speaking. Chapter 7. His Remedy for Temptations of the Flesh. One day, as Brother Giles, Brother Simon of Assisi, Brother Rufino, and Brother Juniper were discoursing together concerning God and the salvation of the soul, Brother Giles said to the other brethren, "How do you deal with temptations to impurity?" Brother Simon said, "I consider the vileness and turpitude of the sin till I conceive an exceeding horror of it, and so escape from the temptation." And Brother Rufino said, "I cast myself on the ground with fervent prayer, implore the mercy of God and of the Mother of Jesus Christ, till I am freed from the temptation." And Brother Juniper answered, "When I feel the approach of a diabolical suggestion, I run at once and shut the door of my heart, and to secure its safety I occupy myself in holy desires and devout meditations, so that when the suggestion comes and knocks at the door of my heart, I may answer from within, 'Begone, for the room is already taken, and there is no space for another guest.' And so I never suffer the thought to enter my heart, and the devil, seeing himself baffled, retires discomfited, not from me alone, but from the whole neighborhood." Then Brother Giles made answer and said, "Brother Juniper, I hold with thee, for there is no surer way of overcoming this enemy than flight. Inasmuch as he attacks us within by means of the traitor appetite, and without through our bodily senses, and so by flight alone can this masterful foe be overcome. And he who resists it in any other way, after all the toil of the conflict, rarely comes off victorious. Fly then from this vice, and thou shalt gain the victory." Chapter 8. How Brother Juniper Made Himself Contemptible for the Love of God. Brother Juniper, desiring to make himself despicable in the sight of men, stripped himself one day of all but his inner garment, and making a bundle of his habit and other clothes, he entered the city of Viterbo, and went half-naked into the marketplace in order to make himself a laughingstock. When he got there, the boys and young men of the place, thinking him to be out of his senses, ill-treated him in many ways, throwing stones and mud at him, and pushing him hither and thither with many words of derision. And thus insulted and evil entreated, he abode there the greater part of the day, and then went his way to the convent. Now when the friars saw him, they were full of indignation, and chiefly because he had gone thus through the city with his bundle on his head. Wherefore they reproved and threatened him sharply. One said, "Let us put him in prison." Another, "He deserves to be hanged." And others, "He cannot be too severely punished for the scandal he has given today in his own person to the injury of the whole order." And Brother Juniper, being full of joy, answered with all humility, "You say well indeed, for I deserve all these punishments, and far worse than these." Chapter 9. How Brother Juniper, in order to be despised, played at seesaw. As Brother Juniper was once entering Rome, the fame of his sanctity led many of the devout Romans to go out to meet him. But he, as soon as he saw this number of people coming, took it into his head to turn their devotion into sport and ridicule. So catching sight of two children who were playing at seesaw upon two pieces of wood, he moved one of them from his place, and mounting on the plank in his stead, he began to seesaw with the other. Meanwhile, the people came up and marveled much at Brother Juniper's seesawing. Nevertheless, they saluted him with great devotion, and waited till he should have finished his play to accompany him honorably to the convent. Brother Juniper took little heed of their salutation, reverence, or patient waiting, but gave his whole attention to his seesaw. And when they had waited thus for a long time, they began to grow tired, and to say, "What folly is this?" Some few who knew his ways were moved to still greater devotion, but at last they all departed, leaving Brother Juniper on the seesaw. When they were gone, Brother Juniper remained full of consolation, because he saw in what contempt they held him. Then came he down from his seesaw, and entering Rome with all meekness and humility, came to the convent of the Friars Minor. Chapter 10. How Brother Juniper Once Cooked for the Brethren Enough to Last for a Fortnight. It happened once, when Brother Juniper was in the house of the brethren, that for some reasonable cause all the friars were obliged to go out, and Brother Juniper alone remained at home. Then the guardian said to him, "Brother Juniper, we are all going out. Therefore, by the time we come back, I wish thee to prepare a little food for the refreshment of thy brethren." "Most willingly," replied Brother Juniper, "leave it to me." When all the brethren, as has been said, were gone out, Brother Juniper said to himself, "What superfluous carefulness is this, that a brother should be lost in the kitchen and deprived of all opportunity for prayer? Of a surety, as I am now left in this charge, I will cook enough to serve the brethren, were they as many more, for a fortnight to come." So he went to the town and borrowed some large pots for cooking. Then he got fresh meat and salt, chickens, eggs, and vegetables. He begged wood also and made a great fire, upon which he set everything together to boil, the fowls in their feathers, the eggs in their shells, and the rest in like manner. Meanwhile, one of the friars, to whom Brother Juniper's simplicity was well known, returned to the house, and seeing these great cauldrons and such an enormous fire, he sat down in amazement to watch with what care and diligence Brother Juniper proceeded in his cookery. And having observed him for some time to his great recreation, this friar went out of the kitchen and told the other brethren that Brother Juniper was certainly preparing a wedding feast. The brethren took it for a jest, but presently Brother Juniper took his cauldrons off the fire and bade them ring the bell for dinner. Then the brethren took their places at the table, and he came into the refectory, all rubicund with his toil and with the heat of the fire, and said to the brethren, "Eat a good dinner now, and then we will go to prayer, and let no one think of cooking for a long time to come, for I have cooked more than enough to last us all for more than a fortnight." And so saying, he set down his hodgepodge before them, but there was never a hog in the Campagna of Rome so hungry that he could have eaten it. Brother Juniper